Chapter 8. When my lady had said good night to Mr. Franklin and Mr. Godfrey, she looked hard at her brother's gift, shining on her daughter's dress. "Rachel," she asked, "where will you put your diamond tonight?" Rachel thought. "In my Indian cabinet, of course. The one with all the drawers." Her mother frowned. "My dear, it has no lock on it." Miss Rachel, happy, light-headed, replied, "But, Mama, there are no thieves in the house." "Why not let me keep it tonight?" said my lady. Miss Rachel refused. "Then come to me first thing tomorrow, Rachel," said my lady, going upstairs. Miss Rachel said good night next, simply shaking hands with Mr. Godfrey, but giving Mr. Franklin an extraordinarily tender smile. I began at that moment to believe that Penelope might be right after all. "I'm going to let the dogs loose tonight," I told Mr. Franklin, as soon as she was gone. "We'll decide on what is to be done tomorrow morning," he said. He looked pale and tired. I advised him to take some whiskey and water to help him sleep. Mr. Godfrey came over to say he agreed, and tried, in the friendliest way, to persuade him to drink something. Mr. Franklin refused politely, and the two rivals went upstairs together. A minute later, Mr. Franklin called down, "Perhaps I will have that whiskey." Samuel went up with a drink. I let the dogs loose, and when we had shut up the house, I took my old bones up to bed and lay awake all night listening to the rain and the wind outside. At 8 a.m., Penelope rushed into the kitchen. "Father, the diamond's gone," she screamed, and dragged me upstairs. Miss Rachel was standing as white as a sheet beside her Indian cabinet, one of its drawers open, empty. "I saw Miss Rachel put the diamond in there last night," Penelope cried. "Is this true, miss?" I asked. With a look that was completely unlike her, with a voice that didn't seem to be her own, she simply answered, "The diamond is gone," and went into her bedroom and locked the door. My lady came in, stone-faced, knocked at Miss Rachel's door and was let in. The two gentlemen rushed in. Mr. Godfrey held up his hands in helpless disbelief. Mr. Franklin, however, showed himself to be more clear-headed, perhaps because that night he had slept well for the first time since he had given up smoking. He ordered us to search the room and knocked on Miss Rachel's bedroom door. My lady came out. The door was immediately shut behind her and locked from the inside. "The loss of the diamond has thrown Rachel into a state of shock," she said. "She won't speak about it, not even to me." "We must call the police," said Mr. Franklin. "They must arrest the Indians immediately, if it's not already too late." Seeing my lady's and Mr. Godfrey's surprise, he added, "All I can say now is they certainly have the diamond. I'll ride to Fritzing Hall immediately." I hurried out after him and asked how the Indians could have got into the house. "One may have got in while the guests were leaving," he shouted, riding off. "But how did the thief escape?" I inspected the house. All the doors and windows were locked. And how could he have possibly escaped the dogs? After breakfast, theft or no theft, one must have one's breakfast, I told my lady the truth about the Indians' plot. She was extremely shocked, but surprisingly seemed more concerned about her daughter. "I've never seen her behave so strangely," she said. "The loss of the jewel has had an effect on her brain." Mr. Godfrey was behaving strangely too, wandering about in an uneasy, aimless way. He was of weaker metal than I had thought. But we were all uneasy. The servants were suspecting one another. The moonstone had turned us all upside down. Mr. Franklin returned before 11. "Superintendent Seagrave is coming," he said. "But it's useless. The case is hopeless." "Why? Have the Indians escaped, sir?" I asked. "Those Indians have been imprisoned unfairly," he replied. "Police inquiries proved that they returned to Fritzinghall and stayed in their hotel all night. Nevertheless, in case of any further discoveries, they're being kept in prison for a week." But if they were innocent, I asked myself, who had taken the moonstone? 10 minutes later, Seagrave and his men arrived. I knew him well, a large, loud man. Mr. Franklin immediately told him the investigation was hopeless. Seagrave found no signs of a forced entry. "Someone inside must have stolen the stone," he declared confidently. The servants, feeling suspected, followed him up to Miss Rachel's sitting room, like a cloud of angry bees. "Look," he said, pointing to a smear in the paint on the door. "Someone's dress has brushed against the wet paint." Everyone except Rosanna crowded round to see. "Back to work, all of you," he ordered. I noticed Rosanna leave immediately. Seagrave then searched the room, found nothing, and asked to see Penelope. "Now, young woman," he said sharply, "I want the truth." "Are you accusing me?" my daughter replied fiercely. After I had smoothed things over, she told him how she had seen Miss Rachel put the diamond in the drawer before going to bed. Next morning at 8 o'clock, when she brought Miss Rachel her breakfast, she had found the drawer open, empty. Seagrave knocked on Miss Rachel's bedroom door. "Go away! I have nothing to say to anyone," she shouted from inside. Seeing his anger and surprise, I told him Miss Rachel was ill, and asked him to wait and see her later. "Seagrave is a fool," Mr. Franklin whispered downstairs, before going out onto the terrace with Mr. Godfrey. Miss Rachel came downstairs as pale as death, ignoring the superintendent who tried to speak to her. She went out onto the terrace, straight to Mr. Franklin, ignoring Mr. Godfrey, who stepped back and left them alone. I watched Miss Rachel's words bring a look of complete astonishment to Mr. Franklin's face. Seeing my lady join them on the terrace, Miss Rachel said some quick last words to her cousin and rushed inside. Mr. Godfrey joined my lady and Mr. Franklin, and they walked off, Mr. Franklin explaining something. Inside, Miss Rachel brushed past Seagrave on her way upstairs. "I don't want to talk to you," she cried, a wild, angry look in her eyes. "My diamond is lost. Neither you nor anybody else will ever find it." I accompanied Seagrave upstairs. Miss Rachel's bedroom door was locked. We heard her crying inside. The police officer was losing his patience. He asked to see the servants. They were questioned one by one, including Penelope, for a second time. My daughter's anger had made a bad impression on him. Afterwards, she rushed out, teary-eyed, saying that he had as good as told her that she had taken the jewel. Seagrave then searched the servants' rooms and found nothing. While he was deciding on his next line of action, Mr. Franklin asked to see me in the library. Rosanna rushed out as I entered. The library had been cleaned in the morning, so she had no business in there. Red-faced, with a strange, self-important look in her eyes, she said, "Mr. Franklin dropped a ring upstairs. I gave it to him and walked away. I found Mr. Franklin writing. "Please send this telegraph, Betteridge," he said. "My father knows the Commissioner of Police. I hope he can send us a cleverer head than Seagraves." He lowered his voice to a whisper. "I think Rosanna Spearman may know more about the Moonstone than she ought to. Or she's gone a bit weak in the head. She certainly behaved very strangely just now. She came in and she said, 'They'll never find the diamond, will they, sir? Or the person who took it. I'll make sure of that.' She actually nodded and smiled at me. I was about to ask her what she meant when you knocked." Passing the kitchen with the telegram, I saw all the servants were at dinner, except Rosanna. I was told she had suddenly felt ill and gone upstairs. "Curious," I said. "She looked well enough just now." Penelope followed me out.
"Don't talk like that, Father," she whispered. "They'll only treat her even worse. The poor girl is breaking her heart over Mr. Franklin."
Seagrave now had a different theory. Someone in the house must have helped the Indians. Mr. Franklin offered to take him into town to question them again. Mr. Godfrey, interested, asked to go with them. Before they left, Mr. Franklin had a word with me. "I won't send the telegram until we've seen the Indians," he said. "And keep an eye on Rosanna Spearman while I'm away. And Miss Rachel, I'm very worried about her." He left me suddenly. Rosanna came down to tea looking ill, was given some medicine, and went back upstairs. Miss Rachel remained in her room, saying she was unwell. The gentleman returned before dinner. Mr. Murthwaite had kindly acted as interpreter, but the interview had failed to throw any new light on the affair. Mr. Franklin had sent his telegram, and Superintendent Seagrave was going to return the following morning.